Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. Time again to talk from the heart, reason from the heart, receive from the heart. The Lord is all about the heart. That's what he deals with when he deals with us. He blesses us in our heart. He speaks to our heart. And we live because he speaks to us heart to heart. And we can speak to him heart to heart. God loves us, and his love runs very deep, and his love is strong. He helps us in every way there is, and he has a perfect plan. But before he can begin to use us and include us in that plan, we have to be on the same page with him. You know, Amos said, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? Well, if we're in agreement with the Lord, then it's, the whole thing is easy. It's an easy walk. Jesus said, take my burden upon you. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. All right? If the yoke is easy, you're joined together with Jesus. The yoke is on your neck and his neck, and the burden is light. You know, to me, that's like a light load, like a bag of feathers, a pillow even. You're pulling a pillow. It won't be a struggle. When you receive the information the Lord wants to give you about whatever he gives you to do, if you get a firm understanding of how God wants you to do it, it will work. Don't stress about it. If God called you to the ministry, he called you. Just take the steps. Do the steps he gives you. Whatever he put on your heart, even if it's something simple, just do it. You don't have to uproot your family and move somewhere. you don't have to do all these. You do what he put in your heart to do. If my pastor, he asked the Lord, when he got saved, and the Lord called him to the ministry, he went out in the woods and asked the Lord, what kind of minister am I? What am I going to do? And the Lord gave him steps to take. He had his own path. And then he read all of Kenneth Hagin's books. And then he uprooted his family and went to Oklahoma. He left a good job and went to Oklahoma and studied there for however long it took and finished and graduated. And then the Lord had him to help another pastor for a time. You know, the Lord guided him in every step of the way. Now, whatever he wants you to do, he'll be with you. And when he tell about the stories of these things, it wasn't always easy, but God was with him. And every challenge, the Lord always met it. And it was necessary because he learned to live by his faith. He learned to do what he was reading about. And he saw the word in a more perfect way. And see, when you can go around the mountain and through the woods for years, but when you study the word and receive what it says, it's a cakewalk, so to speak. I put it this way: even with the trouble that he did go through. And the challenges that he did face, he learned to overcome, he learned to fight, he learned to contend. Biblically. Now, some people, when they run into challenges, they preach excuses for the trouble they went through. And they try not to blame God for it, which they can't, because the enemy is the one challenging. When you're endeavoring to do it God's way, Satan's going to try to get people to stop you. You know, family members won't agree. You know, he met opposition uprooting his family and going to Oklahoma. Some people didn't like that. Some people thought he was crazy. But he came back and his ministry is flourishing because God honors your faith. And when you do what God give you to do, it's going to work. It's beyond what people expect. But you have to travel your path. And he went to Ramah. Now, when I got saved in 83, in 83, he was graduating, Ramah. I got saved in 83. I got called to the ministry in 87. But and I knew about Ramah. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, do you want me to go there? But he gave me another path. I had to take the path he gave me. See, I grew up in a good neighborhood. And I saw people do things, you know, like they should do. I saw a beautiful side of life. And I thought it was like that everywhere. Until I got grown. When I got older, I saw things that was happening in the world. And I said earlier that my business was a very key part of my ministry. Because through my business, I worked at people's houses. I would fix their car in their yard. And I would fix the car wherever it was. I had a mobile auto service. For 8 years, I worked out of my truck. I took a job once for a few months, and then I went right back to my business. And it developed. It did good. I mean, I made money, and I was able to pay my bills. I was able to progress somewhat. Didn't have any kids yet, and I wasn't a trained businessman. Now, keep that in mind. Everything was not pristine, perfect. But it was, I learned so much. And the way I learned it, I don't think I could have gotten that education any other way. So don't knock the path God puts before you. Other ministers was, they were going into full-time ministry. They had churches. And the Lord, it wasn't in my heart for that. That route was not there. Even the college, I wanted to go to school, but that wasn't my route either. I listened to Kenneth Hagin on the radio and others, Charles Capps, Scott Webb, and producer Faith. I listened to Frank Matchin, Lynn Lawson. I listened to these guys on the radio every day for years, and it was a blessing. But, and that was my college. And I studied, and I had a strong relationship with the Lord. I would ask him questions. He would teach me. He would train me. He prepared me for what I'm doing now. But I saw the struggles people have firsthand, not secondhand, but firsthand. I heard conversations. I saw people do good things. I saw people do terrible things. I'm working on the car in one person's yard, and I see people doing crazy things across the street or down the street. I've seen gunfights. I've seen all of these ills. And I can tell you, standing flat-footed, that the happiest people are the people who love God, took their family to church, and did what's right because it's right. They were better off than everybody else. In one day, I might work in the projects. I might work over the mountain. In wealthy neighborhoods. I might work in a neighborhood like I came from. In one day, I could fix four or five cars, so I would see all kind of situation. I might work in the projects on the Cadillac and work over the mountain on the Oldsmobile. And sometimes the people who lived over the mountain in better homes, they were not extravagant. They bought things and they kept it up, and they kept it a long time, and they saved their money. and sometimes people in the project, they brought the best the best they could buy, you know. But you see situations, and the Lord helped me to. And at a time, I learned to love people. When I took that job, that's when I almost got in a fight with a guy, and the Lord taught me how to love his people. So your path is your path. And what you do in this life, it matters. How you do it matters. And you have to take the path God gives you personally. a lot of history. I can't, some of the things that the Lord gave me to teach and minister, I wouldn't be able to do it unless I followed the path he led me on. But because he did that, I know what to watch out for. Now, the last broadcast, we left off saying that when the Lord called you to the ministry, even if you have a good education and you have a thriving job, business, whatever, and the Lord called you to the ministry, that doesn't mean you have to stop all that and go start a church somewhere. You know, I've seen people say stuff like that. Or they'll get called, but they won't follow God because they don't want to lose. They don't want to walk away from their job and things like that. Then they go back to the rich young ruler. They feel like him. And God didn't even tell them to quit their job or their business. Or even do what my pastor did. What he give you to do, he'll provide for you. The road is good. Even if you have to go to another state and go to school, you have to do what God give you. You'll have an inner desire for it. You will have an inner desire for it. It'll be a burning passion in your heart, and whatever it is, people are gonna try to talk you out of it. If your path is to keep your thriving business or your thriving job or finish your education and get a job, if that's your path, some ministers are going to say, well, you don't need to do that. They're going to tell you how to do what God called you to do. But there's a problem. They're not God. I would have gotten all kind of advice from others about how I did what I did. But I didn't include them in the decision. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why is my business so important? I was looking at it from my point of view. I was looking through time. He knew what he was preparing me for and why. I didn't even know where I was going. I didn't even know how to do this. And then in 92, he revealed what kind of minister I was. In 87, I asked him. He wouldn't tell me. In 92, he said, you're a chief apostle to the church. I'm like, wow. And I didn't even go to Bible college. Well, I took some classes at the church, and because Elder Lewis was he could have been a college professor himself. And he had the education for it. So he did a class at the church, and I took it. And I was faithful. I was a faithful student, even though I didn't go get a formal education with a degree and all the, you know, the bright gold trimmings with it. But I did follow God, and he called me and he anointed me. Now, out of all that, the anointing is what makes you, is what makes the difference. The reason you don't have to do a formal ministry, and if he called you to pastor, that doesn't mean that you have to even have a church. You have to follow the path God gives, because where is he calling you to? Now think about how the anointing works. The anointing works with you ministering to people. No matter what you have, how you dress it up, how you dress it down, what makes the difference is your words towards other people. Your ministry to help mankind. Now, out of all Jesus' teaching, he rarely taught in the synagogues. He went, but he didn't. He did his ministry outside in the field. He preached a sermon on the mount and a sermon in the plain. And he went about doing good. He did the work of a pastor. He did the work of a prophet. He did the work of an apostle. He did the work of a teacher. He did the work of an evangelist. He did all these things. Now, he didn't have a building most of the time. So that's what we need to focus on. What is your anointing? What did God call you to do? Where is he guiding you to serve mankind? All right. He may want you to work with another pastor to do a certain thing in a certain church. I'm just throwing some ideas. God, whatever God give you to do is going to be wise. You can't even use the format I'm using as an example. You're going to have to go in prayer and just yield to the Lord, and he'll guide you where you're supposed to be. He may give you a vision of the church he wants you to be at. You may be there the rest of your life. You may be there for a season. But whatever his path is, you will know it, because he'll come to you and guide you where he wants you to be. Before I went to the church I'm at now, which is Victory Christian Fellowship, I worked with another pastor, and I was happy at the ministry. I wanted to make the ministry grow. I wanted to make it grow. I wanted to help it go forward. And I prayed for that ministry. I did things that I taught Sunday school there. I had no intention of going anywhere else for the rest of my life. Until the Lord kept coming to me, talking to me about Victory Christian Fellowship. Now, I met Pastor's mother, and the Lord brought that conversation back and said, it's very important that you go to that church. I didn't even know I was supposed to join. I just went. But I was so busy at the other church, it took me a while before I actually went. And when my wife's father died, we were on the way to North Carolina, and that's when he said it's very important that you go to that church, and he explained some things to me that I didn't know. And then I went, and I thought something was wrong. I said, "Why is he sending me away? He just sent me away. That was my next step. Had nothing to do with the other church." So I told Pastor Jackson I had to branch out, and I went. No harm, no foul. God loves his people. He does things according to the counsel of his own will, and it's important. I wasn't mad at nobody or nothing. Everything, I did what God said to do. That's not the first time that happened. But you have to follow the path God gives you. You have to follow the path God gives you, because that's where you're going to meet the next step. That's where you're going to be effective. Remember, our God evaluates everything. And the work of the ministry doesn't have to be formal. It doesn't have to be formal. It has to be ordered by God. And that's where your anointing would work the strongest. I even had a dream. I dreamt that I was supposed to be teaching Sunday school at Victory, but I was at a church I used to go to in Pratt City at the same time. And I was out of pocket. And I saw how if I need to be where God sent me. God give you these dreams for a reason. He does things. That told me several things. One, I'm in order doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Two, that's where my anointing is supposed to be. If I was anywhere else at that time, I'm out of pocket and I can't use my anointing where God wants me to use my anointing. So where you go and what you do is very important. And I'm telling you, it's more beneficial for you, your family, everybody involved, even the people that's going to hear you, to be where you're supposed to be. Be planted where you're supposed to be planted. And work to do that. And you don't have to compromise. If you're married, work to get your family on board with what you're doing. Not grudgingly, but willingly. Because when people are not willing, if you don't get in pocket, if you're not where God gave you to be, then there are things that's not going to happen that should be happening. I'm telling you from experience, it's nothing personal. It's not never make it personal. It's business. It's what God give you to do. Do what God give you to do. Do what he put in your heart, because he said do it. And you're going to find out why. I promise you, you're going to find out why he said it. And it's going to make so much sense. When I went to Victory Christian Fellowship, I went when my children were young. Because Shana was still old enough to be in the kids' church. In the stream kids, she was young enough for that, and my children got a strong biblical ministry to teach them. They were taught the word well. They saw miracles. They saw the move of the Holy Spirit. They saw, I would teach them at home. And then when they go to church, I used to, they had a little Jim used to teach on Friday night. So when it was my weekend to get them, I would pick them up. We'd go to church. And it was good. And they enjoyed it. And then little Jim would say something that I taught him at home, and they all three look at me at the same time. It was so, you know, those Holy Ghost moments. And Jim didn't know what I taught at home. I didn't tell him, but the Holy Spirit. They saw the Holy Spirit say, have Pastor Jim and his son, little Jim, to say what Daddy taught at home, and others too. We'd teach in the breakfast club, and we go when we go back to the main sanctuary. Pastor Jim be preaching things that he had us saying in the breakfast club. It happens all the time. Even the same scripture references sometimes happened last Sunday. But when you're where you're supposed to be, you'll see these kind of things, and the Lord will lead you out of danger. Some churches are not churches. They're just covens. They're not churches. They look like a church. They smell like a church. But the people have turned their heart. And you don't want your family there. You don't want to go to a church and some pastor or somebody is flirting with your daughter or your wife. It happens. Oh, yeah, it happens. So only God knows what's going on. So you're going to have to trust him. You don't want your family to be scarred at church. Go where God leads you to go. Don't be so tied to people and things. I can tell you many horror stories. I don't want to. It's not worth talking, but just trust me. It's if Satan's out there, anything's out there. And Satan goes to church. You want to go to church where people contend to do God's will. People who do not turn their heart and they're back on God. And if you don't believe preachers do that, you got to read, you need to study Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. The Lord picked Ezekiel up by his hair and took him in the temple and showed him what the priests were doing in the dark, how they were worshiping false gods in secret, turning to the east and worshiping the sun and foolishness like that. Only God knows who's who. And following his path is important. He'll lead your family away from trouble and danger and problems that they'll take years to fix. But he'll guide you perfectly. Now, the ministry, I said, it doesn't have to be formal. A lot of people miss God's best trying to make formal. At the end of the day, true ministry is heart to heart, talking to people, being a blessing to people. Now, I just said this in Sunday school. There was a guy named Chris Lucas. He worked at Food Giant. Now, Mark and Charlie, they deliver Coke products to the store. We worked at Food Giant and Huffman. And every day they tell us about Jesus. You know, well, you know, when we pass by them, they start a conversation, and you know, if we caught up, we, you know, we made shoot the breeze with them and talk, and they told us about Jesus and it was good. Mark was a family man. He had a lot of children, and Charlie was single, They love God, and they would check. And every time Mark had a child, he got a raise. God's favor was on that man. He moved up in the ranks at Coke Calder too. But we got saved like dominoes. And these guys, they were just regular guys. But they got serious about the Lord. Now, Chris Lucas, he was an Italian. He went to a Catholic church, and he got saved, believed on Jesus, and he ended up going to the Church of the Nazarene out in Centerpoint. He operated like a pastor to me because he told me what to watch out for. Now, his ministering to me was a few moments day by day for the time that we worked there. I got saved in 83. I left that job in 84. So the year that we would we talked about the Lord for almost a year. Just day to day, we'd encourage each other in the Lord. But he was like a pastor to me. He looked like a co-worker. But he did the work of a pastor. He may not have even, I don't know if he got called to the ministry or not. He still did the work of a pastor because the things he said, it was good structure. He told me that Christians don't have to sin. He was taught right, so he taught me right. He told me that I had authority over Satan. He said, if Christians sin, it's because they want to. They don't have to. They're not like a sinner who can't stop sinning because their sin nature was broken. He would tell me things like that that people just don't tell you in church sometimes. I've been to church all my life. I never heard some of the things that he said. In a few minutes, he taught me things that I didn't get growing up. Now, to be honest and fair to my dad, when he would teach, he taught well, but I'm a child. I didn't relate to everything he taught. And I remember his ministry. I remember his dedication. And he would encourage people in the Lord. Now, they understood a lot of things that I didn't know. But Chris Lucas broke it down. And the Lord knew what I needed. He knew what I got, and he knew what I didn't get. And I thank God for it. Sometimes you need the ministry of others. And he helped me to know that there was more. He said he knew a woman that used to have conversations with the Lord, and the Lord would talk to her. I said, man, I want to get to that point. I want to know somebody to do that. That was a big deal to me. And I met Mom Powell, you know, and she deeply inspired me to go on and have a relationship with the Lord. And then I ended up going to Refuge Temple. I met a guy named Terrence Givens at the store. He's the one that told me about the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Now, Chris Lucas said that God would give it to some people and not everybody. Now, he had the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And I said, well, if it's available, I want it. But Terrence Givens said, you have to have the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. Anyway, I was in a band. I met some guys that we had a band together, and we got a new guitar player. And his mother and his sisters, his aunts, and they used to have church at their house sometime down in Bradford. And I took him home one night, and we was talking about the Holy Ghost. And he said, you can get the Holy Ghost tonight. I said, well, I won't. And that's late. We had just got through with band practice. It's 11 o'clock at night. I said, well, I want it. He said, and he went in there and woke his mama up. He said, the squad will get together and pray. That's what he called them, the squad. We got to get. And she taught me the word in Acts. I had been studying, so what she said I related to it. And she said the Holy Spirit is a gift. And she said that God gave, you don't have to tarry, you don't have to wait for the Holy Ghost. She was very wise. And she said, God gave you this as a free gift. All you have to do is receive it. He said, thank him for his gift. The highest praise is hallelujah. Just praise God, hallelujah, and you'll end up speaking in tongues. And I did. I drove home speaking in tongues. So now this the other part. They said, and they said when they knew my name, they said the Lord told us you was coming. I got an odd name, Thurston. And they was in prayer one day and my name came up. And I came. And hey, God has your path. He has a path out there for you. All these things happen. The Lord put me together with him. He changed my destiny. You know, he coached me along the way. Everywhere I went, I got an element that I needed. Ministry don't have to be formal to work. And some people are hungrier than others. So you need to be where God sent you, because that's where the people who will receive from you. Everybody won't receive from you like that person will. So in ministry, don't limit it. That's the theme of what I'm saying. Don't limit the anointing. Just decide to yield to the Spirit. If you can yield to him, he can guide you where you need to be. What church you go to, how you do your ministry, how you govern it, he'll give you the rules of your anointing. I have rules that God gave me. These are the things that came to me. I didn't know to ask for. He showed me the purpose of my ministry and why. Even the way it looks. Now I won't tell you all the details he told me, because it's a secret. You're going to have to get your own format, because every ministry is just like we read in the last broadcast, yesterday's broadcast, the one before this one, that there are different operations, different guidelines for everybody's unique ministry. Now, and what type of ministry you are, walk in it. You have the anointing, and and the Lord will guide you where you're supposed to be. And with social media, he can help you minister all around the world, like I'm doing right now. And I thank the Lord for it. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He will guide you by his Spirit. Till next time.